ಪೂಜ್ಯಪಾಲ ಶ್ರೀ ತಿಲಾಪ್ರಭುನಾನಂದ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಚರಣ ತಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾರಮಣ ಸುಧಾನಿ ಗಂಥಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಂಕ್ರಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕಿ
of Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi, Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati has the divine vision of seven features in which Radharani is the sar or the essence of everything. The translation of the sloka runs, "My mind is completely absorbed in Sri Radha, who is the essence of natural beauty, the essence of rush, the only essence of bliss, the essence of compassion, the essence of all sweet, effulgent and beautiful forms, the essence of cleverness and the essence of erotic playfulness."
তার মধ্যে প্রথমটি হচ্ছে লাবণ্য সারে, লাবণ্যের সার। আমরা গতকাল উৎসাহিপাদনীর বাণীর আশ্রয়ে কিঞ্চিত এই লাবণ্য সার গুলি একটু আচ্ছাদন করার প্রয়াস করেছি।
Yesterday we tried to relish the first item of this verse by following in the footsteps of the Goswamis. The first item was called Labanya Sar, or the essence of natural beauty. But all these attributes of Sri Radha are so difficult to cross and so deep, just like the deepest ocean. There is no way for the ordinary human beings to relish anything more of this ocean than just one drop. It is said about Krishna that nobody can, even Krishna himself, cannot find the limit to his glories. So what to speak of any ordinary human being? So Sri Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can himself not gauge the limits of Radharani's glories, so what to speak of an ordinary human being? He tries to touch these attributes simply to get himself blessed.
একদিকে যেমন এই গুণাবলী এর যে গুরুত্ব কত, এটি যদি অনুভব করতে হয় তাহলে এই সব গুণে শ্রী গোবিন্দের কতখানি বৈশ্যতা।
So these attributes of Radharani are so heavy and so deep that Krishna gets completely controlled or enslaved by them and gets totally enchanted, intoxicated by them. First we have to see this, we have to realize that how mad Krishna becomes because of these attributes. It is because Krishna is not controlled or enslaved by qualities or attributes alone. He is only controlled and enslaved by prem, by love. So any attribute which has not arisen due to prem can not subdue him. So reversely we can understand that if Krishna is subdued or intoxicated by somebody, then that person must have a very deep love for him. So Krishna is fully controlled because Radharani's love is not ordinary, but is called Madanakya Mahabhav, that is the limit of prem. Svatasiddha means it is self-perfect, it is not created by anything or anyone. Although somebody may have unlimited attributes and qualities, it will not be interesting to Krishna. But if a person has no attributes at all, but still he has prem, then Krishna will be completely subdued by that person. So there is a shloka in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali which gives a list of a number of devotees that had absolutely no attributes but that still subdued Krishna. The first one was that what was the kindness and the compassion of the hunter. Of Gajendra, of Gupta, who the hunchbacked woman from Mathura, and what was the age of Dhruva Mahashaya? Sudama Brahman, how much money did he have? Nothing. What was the family lineage of Vidura, who was half a Shudra and half a maidservant? And what was the masculine power of Ugrasen Maharaj? Absolutely nothing. But still, Krishna was subdued by all of these devotees because of their love for him. Bhakti Krishna is only pleased with devotion and not with attributes.
তিনি কোন গুণের ভার করেন না এই জন্য ভক্তি প্রিয় মাত্র একমাত্র ভক্তিরই তিনি প্রিয়
Therefore, Krishna is also called Bhaktapriya, a person who is very fond of his devotees. But on the other hand, wherever there is the limit of devotion, there will automatically be the limit of attributes, qualification. And wherever there is the limit of devotion, there is also the limit of subjugation of Krishna. And that truth is Sri Radha. Subdue Krishna, the devotee is establishing a self-esteem with his or her Manjari Swarup. But this cannot be relished when one is in bodily consciousness. That at least the relish will not be astonishing, which is the essence of relish. Bodily consciousness is unfavorable to the spiritual development of a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Therefore, Mahajans, this is Thakur Mahashoy, has sung in the Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Dehe na koryo astha. Don't put your faith or your love in your body. The Gaudiya Vaishnava should not identify himself with the body. Because that bodily consciousness will carry the mind away from the lotus feet of Radharani. It will, that is the nature of bodily consciousness, and it will create an absorption in sensual thoughts, thoughts of sense objects. So if we cannot absorb ourselves in sense objects, then in what should we absorb our thoughts? That is into the Siddha Swarup. Then Pandit quotes a sloka from the Sanat Kumara Samhita, which orders us to absorb ourselves in the self-identification with the young girl. So the commentators on this verse say it should not just be a thought, it should be a deep meditation. So one should advance in such consciousness until that identification with such a form becomes a reality. It should not be just a meditation, it should actually be something that you are faced with in a real sense.
Rupe guni dhamami sadaho anuragi bhav
stay, Narottam Das Thakur sings, I will stay amongst the Sakis and be completely absorbed in meditating on the attributes and the forms of Radha and Krishna.
Jara Bhavrati Pristuhesi.
Those who have entered into the kingdom of Bhav, of love of God, through their devotional practice. So when that Manjari Bhav, the consciousness of a Manjari develops, then this is considered equality with what is called Jivan Mukti in the Vedas. That is, when a person is liberated while still remaining in the physical body. Then it is like you are moving inside the body as if it does not exist anymore. It is like complete forgetfulness of the body. So I believe this is from Madhurya Kadambini of Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, that Panditji is quoting, that if a sadhaka has attained roti, this is called jati roti, then he slowly renounces his identification with his gross physical body and transfers it to an identification with the spiritual body. Then gradually he comes into full awareness of his siddha swarup, his siddha deha. Prem has then not yet arisen. He has this spurti or the transcendental vision of his spiritual body day and night. But that does not mean that the person who has not achieved rati or ajata rati sadhak is deprived of relish. In other words, he relishes also greatly. His identification with his siddha swarup, though, is mixed with bodily consciousness. He still thinks of himself as somebody who is practicing Manjari now, which is a subtle type of bodily identification. So that bodily consciousness is still there in the form of thinking himself to be some sadhaka, some practicing devotee. So that part, this is a mixture with his Swarupa Abhiman, his identification with his spiritual body. I am one Manjari from Braj, and one day, by the mercy of Sri Radha, I will attain that eternal devotional service. His consciousness is completely absorbed in the hope and the anticipation of that achievement in the future. That is not a small relish, that is also a great relish. But actually this is so relishable that even those who are already in the spiritual world desire to come to the material world to perform sadhana. Then then Thakur Mahashoy, Sri Narottam Das Thakur, says that when will I achieve the association of the Shakyas? So we can understand that Narottam Das Thakur here is in a sadhaka abhiman, which means he identifies himself still with his devotee body, his external devotee body. I will pick flowers in Vrindavan and put it on Radha and Krishna's bodies. When will I fan Radha and Krishna with a yak tail fan on the order of the Sakis? And when will I anoint their limbs with sandalwood pulp? When will I witness with my own eyes their funny, humorous pastimes? And I will look at their moonlight faces as I seat them on a lion's throne. This is their meditation, this is their aspiration, this is their desire. So that hope for a future arrival there is certainly not a small relish. But Prabodhananda Saraswati is actually an eternal associate of the Lord. He knows it. So he has written one sloka in the Radha Rasa Sudaniti somewhere towards the end, that when can I wash off the dirt from this low body of mine by bathing in the Jamuna, and which is mixed with the musk which has washed off the washed off the breast of Sri Radha. But then Panaji asks, is that really a kudeha, what Prabodhananda Saraswati had? That means a dirty, a low body. He says it. But actually his body is transcendental, because he is an eternal associate of Srimad Mahaprabhu. So actually, all the acharyas who have been doing bhajan here all these hundreds of years ago are actually still there. They are still performing their sadhana now, because the Gaur Lila is also eternal. They come down to the material world in the first place to relish the astonishing mellows of sadhana bhakti. In the Jamuna, Radha and Krishna are eternally playing different pastimes in the water. Now the Jamuna's water has become muddy with the kumkum, that is actually, in the sloka it says actually musk, but kumkum musk, that was washed off the breast of Sri Radha. So this water has become filled with premrosh, that is the juice of divine love. So what he means with kudeha, that dirty body that he doesn't have, of course, he means with that the identification with the sadhak body, with the devotee body. Even this he considers a contamination. I will eternally take a bath in a different way.
Udeha jo mod bolchen
Nirmal, that is the last word of that sloka. Nirmal means spotless. That is the identification with the Manjushri Spirit.
Say
those people who have even the slightest realization in this regard, they will immediately understand what he means. They cannot explain it through any commentaries or so. It is something that must be experienced. So, Panaji says here that the rest of this first line of the sloka actually describes one guna, one attribute, rasasara and sukhaikasara. That is the essence of ras or taste and the essence of exclusive happiness. He will explain that later. Now, Krishna is also called the essence of rasa. If any of these attributes can be relished or understood, and it will be relished and understood. So if the sadhaka cannot even understand one drop of the upasya tattva, the principle of the worshipable deity, then what is the use of his bhajan? You know, what kind of a bhajan is he actually doing? And how can he serve her? But this is not some kind of speculation or imagination. The devotees, the sadhakas, have to merge their minds within the great words of the acharyas. That tune of these words that must be resounding or echoing within their hearts. So the sadhak will be blessed if he is able to relish this through the process of hearing and chanting. There is no other way. It will bring them to the lotus feet of Radharani. First we must understand what is rasasara, and then we can understand what is sukhaikasara. Radha is the only essence of Krishna's happiness because she is the essence of rasa. Why is Krishna also called the essence of rasa? We see in the Upanishads that the Supreme Brahman is also called Ras. Ananda, that is bliss, and Brahma is the formless God. So the Upanishads and the Vedas, they are also describing God as being Ras, although they usually only highlight the impersonal feature of God. Now, they acknowledge that the impersonal Godhead is also an ocean of rasa. But in that ocean, there are no attributes, no pastimes, no of these sensations. It is like an ocean without waves. Parabrahma is But the other ocean of Ras, that is the Sakara, of the form of God, of the attribute of God, which has a form, that is full of waves of pastimes, qualities, forms, and so on. So the devotees, they lose their minds and their eyes in the waves of that ocean. So those who desire the relationship with that form of God which has a form, then they will automatically, ultimately, be absorbed in deep relish of the sweetness and sensation of these pastimes. Actually, all the forms of God are the embodiments of Ras and Ananda. But the difference is that both the relisher and the relished are being distinguished in the personal form. So, just for instance, the bee is relishing the honey. Now, the relished object is the honey, and the relisher is the bee. But the bee is not itself the juice of the honey. But there it is said that the relisher of Ras is himself also Ras. That means that Krishna is himself relishable, but he is also relishing. And what is he relishing? He is relishing the juice or the nectar of his devotee's love. All the forms of God are the embodiments of Ras, but Krishna's form is called the essence of Ras. The Upanishads say again that God, of all tastes, God is the greatest taste, the Rasatama. Why is Krishna the ultimate manifestation of Ras? It is because he has so many qualifying attributes that make him qualified to be the essence of Ras. And these attributes are called his madhuri, or his sweetness. So every form of God has some rasic aspect, but none of them have all the rasic aspects. But Brajendranandan, Krishna, who is the son of the king of Braj, is called in the opening sloka of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, or the embodiment of all transcendental flavors. That's why he is the essence of Ras. Of course, then the highest Ras is again the amorous Ras. And here also he is the ultimate manifestation. Sringara
Goswami Kridami.
This is described by Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda, that he is playing in the Vasanta in the spring season as the very embodiment of amorous ras.
Vasanta Kali Dakan Sen Priyori. Ei Vasante Pone. Anubhav Kocche Radha Rani. Tini Kemon. Jeno Sri Sakkhat Murtiman Sringa.
Radharani experiences it herself when she enjoys pastimes with Krishna and Braj in the springtime. So in his enjoyment with the gopis, in all kinds of amorous pastimes, Krishna is displaying himself as the essence of Raj. This cannot be found anywhere else, either in the material or in the spiritual world. Yesterday, Panaji already mentioned the shloka in the Bhagavad, in which Krishna was experienced by all the audience in Kamsa's arena, as something else. Krishna was experienced differently by different members of the audience. But actually, he is all of these items together, and that makes him the embodiment of all transcendental flavors. That was explained by Srila Swamipad in his commentary on that shloka, that Krishna is the embodiment of all transcendental flavors, starting with the amorous one, that is topped by the amorous one. So the Goswamis have distilled this into four specific attributes that Krishna has alone.
Govinda Madhuri Ananta.
Nobody can count or measure the sweetness of Govinda, it is endless. How many flocks of snow are there in the sky? How many drops of water are there in the ocean? How many drops, how many grains of sand are there on the earth? These things are simply not measurable. Similarly, the ocean of Krishna's sweetness cannot be crossed over. But still, to assist the sadhakas in becoming expert and relishing these mellows, the Goswamis have made a fourfold division. There are many similarities between Vishnu and Krishna in attributes, but although these attributes are somewhat present in Narayana, they are not fully present as they are in Krishna. So just as Krishna is the origin of all the forms of Vishnu, so he is also the origin of all their attributes. In other words, he is the sum total, the complete manifestation of the attributes that they display in part.
Sutram Dharatam
his full manifestation is only present in Braj, not in Dwaraka or in Mathura. Krishna is the only object of these extraordinary sweetnesses, according to Sri Rupa Goswami. This sweetness cannot be put into words. This is called Mukha Svadhanbhat, which means that it is like relished only by the dumb, the person who cannot speak. In other words, whether you're dumb or not, that does not make any difference in the inability of describing the sweetness. Nevertheless, the acharyas have used their transcendental experiences to somehow put it into words. So outside of Braj, there is only Aishwarya, there is only awe and reverence and prowess, display of prowess, but the attributes of Krishna are also equally present there, be it in another way. But those who worship Krishna in these forms, they all worship him with awe and reverence, with the sight and awareness of his majesty. Their relish is therefore somewhat hampered by their awe and reverence, although the sweetness of God is present also there. That is natural. This is called Sankuchita Priti. This is hampered love, love which is hampered by a feeling of awe and reverence in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Therefore, there is also hampering in the relish of Krishna's sweetness. But Krishna is himself called the embodiment of all sweetness, and in him there is no manifestation of prowess or of awe and reverence. It is not manifest there. The love of the Brajabasis is filled with pure sweetness, so there is no mixture in it of awe and reverence or awareness of Krishna's majesty. So then person may ask that you may say that, but it is seen that Krishna is killing so many demons in Braj, so how can we still perceive this as a purely sweet pastime?